Beautiful day, beautiful singing. What a great honor and privilege it is to be here. We're so thankful that you're here, that you made that decision to join us for worship, especially our visitors this morning. Thank you for being here. It's an encouragement. You made that decision to us. I pray that we are an encouragement to you. But I want to say also again, Happy Mother's Day. Right, Paul says in Romans 16 and verse 3, to give honor to whom honor is due. And so we honor the mothers among us this morning as we praise our God, as we come together as a church, and we're thankful for you. I heard a funny little story about a mother, and it's told that a 15-year-old boy comes home from school, and he runs up to the bedroom upstairs and sees his mother laying in bed sick. And he's worried. He said, "Mom, are you okay? What's wrong?" She said, "Oh, I'm just really sick." And he said, "Mom, don't worry about dinner. I'll come up and carry you down to the stove." Right? So moms are always busy, right? Mothers never get a break, it seems. In Proverbs 31, our scripture reading earlier, I want us to mention a few things. I know everyone has a busy day, so I may be a little shorter of a lesson on Mother's Day here. I want to mention some things here from this text that we learned that mothers are and what mothers do in order to honor them this morning. In our scripture reading earlier, began in verse 26. I want to back up just a little bit in verse 10 and read for a moment. If you have your Bible, open up Proverbs 31 and just read for a moment with me here. Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10. "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. She will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." Dropping down to verse 18, "She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, to the distance, and her hand holds the spindle." Down to verse 26, what we read earlier, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is a law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her husband, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." From this text here this morning, I want us to see, as the writer here, and we didn't read it all, verse 10 to the end of the chapter, I want us to see concerning a mother how her hands work and the words of her mouth speaks, and how her heart loves. And I want us to think about this. You know, modern mothers carry a great burden, a heavy load. And that's been the case for many years throughout human history. You know, in the Hebrew culture, the Hebrew family, a mother occupied a higher position than that enjoyed by women in many other nations. And mother's duties, of course, back then were primarily domestic. But she was held in high regard in the Hebrew nation, and the biblical text tells us again and again, over and over. And it highlights this high regard for godly mothers. So number one here, I want you to note from the text, her hands work. Right, verses 13 and 19 and 22, she selects wool and works with eager hands. And verse 14, bringing her food from afar. She cooks in verse 15. She provides for her family. She even gardens, verse 16. Plants a vineyard, and our text also says that mothers, verse 15, get up while it's still dark to prepare food. And in verse 18, her lamp does not go out by night. And in verse 27, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness, right? She's not lazy. Moms are busy, and they stay busy. Sometimes I want you to think here for just a moment before we continue. The Bible, the concept of motherhood, sometimes mother in the text is used in more figurative ways. Right? The prophet Ezekiel used mother as a metaphor for Israel. After being nurtured and cared for by their mother, the princes of Israel brought shame upon her, the prophet Ezekiel writes about. And while Hosea made it a continuing theme in his prophecies, cities were called a mother of Israel in 2 Samuel 2 and verse 19. And so the Bible, in many different ways, uses mother, a biblical concept, to teach us principles, to teach us many things about how powerful the influence of a mother is. And a quick story here. When I think about the hands of my mother and a lesson that I learned, when I was 18 years old and I got out of the Marine Corps, I came home in my dress blue uniform, right, the best uniform in all the military. And let me tell you, I thought I was it. You couldn't fill my head with more pride and arrogance. I don't think it was possible. And why did I wear that uniform home? Because I wanted people to see. And so I go home, I'm in my uniform, and I'm sitting there talking to my mom, and, in the culture that I just left, now this is a decade plus before I even thought about being a preacher, sitting there, dressed blues, thinking I was everything, and a bad word comes out. Now my mom, 4 foot, 10 maybe, has never weighed more than 90 pounds. But she could always strike fear in my heart. Little tiny lady, and that bad word comes up and right on the face. And you know what? To the best of my ability, my memory, I've never said another foul word like that again. That's 30-something years ago. Right? So you think about mom and you think about the influence that they have and what they can teach you. And her hands worked on me that day and for my benefit. And so I'm thankful for that. This figurative meaning of mother also included ancestry, right? Eve was the mother of mankind in Genesis chapter 3. God blessed Sarah. She was the mother of nations in Genesis 17 and verse 16. And Rebekah in Genesis 24. Rebekah was blessed to become the mother of thousands of 10,000. So the Bible clearly teaches mothers work a lot, they do a lot, they carry a great amount of responsibility, and for that we're thankful. And in that, we honor mothers for who they are, what they do, the great influence they have upon us and upon the world. So number one, her hands work. Number two from our text, her mouth speaks. In Proverbs 31, verse 26, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. In Luke, the second chapter, Luke chapter 2, when we look at the example of Mary, the mother of Jesus, we see an example of her words. In Mary, we see this epitome of motherhood, right? We see a wonderful example of humility. What a great lesson. Now, nowhere in history is Mary mentioned outside the presence of her son. And she herself was the recipient of one of God's greatest gifts to mankind. Yet she never sought glory or fame. In Mary, we see an example of absolute purity. And the Bible shows by word and example that she was devout. In Luke chapter 2, we see this example of absolute dedication to her child. And this is the event, we're not going to read it all, where Jesus, it seems, was lost. They couldn't find him. And we read in verse 48 of Luke chapter 2, so when they saw him, so they found him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And here we just see words of love and concern. She wanted to know where her son was. And we jump over to John, the second chapter. Jesus is older and he's beginning his ministry. Right? This would have been after Joseph's death. She traveled extensively with Jesus throughout his ministry. And it's very interesting the relationship she had with Jesus. She was firm and respectful at the same time. And Jesus shows his respect for her wishes despite what seems his reluctance to get involved. She's aware of his abilities. And Jesus then respectfully complies to the wishes of his mother in verses 4 and 5. Jesus said to her, woman, now that's a term of endearment, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. And his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. John, the 19th chapter, if you would. In Mary, we see faithfulness until death towards her family. Right? She was with Jesus until the end, which was ultimately the beginning. If you read verses 25 through 27 in John chapter 19. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Right, Jesus here, agonizing torture on the cross, he was still concerned about the welfare of his mother because of that special relationship that they had. His love for her was a direct reflection of the love that she had shown to him. You know, sometimes folks who never stand in a pulpit preach the best sermons, the greatest sermons through living out the word in their daily lives. And that is especially true with godly mothers, and they do that daily. So number one, a mother, her hands work. Number two, her mouth speaks. And number three, our final point this morning, her heart loves. In Proverbs 31, 11 and 12, it says, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good and not harm all the days of her life. In 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, if you would, I want you to note something I think pretty special here. In considering that text there in Proverbs 31, right, if a husband has full confidence in his wife, then you know that that's a woman that loves her man. And the unselfish nature of a mother shows a heart of love for her family. I'm sure all of us can remember many unselfish acts that our mothers have performed throughout the years. Right? That's why the love and nurturing of God, when Paul here in 1 Thessalonians is trying to get the church to understand, what he's going to do here is use the example of a mother. He said, let me tell you how much God loves you. And to help you picture this, let me use a mother as an example. Right? And we can all relate to that. So in 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us. And so when God's trying to teach us something, or Paul here to the church at Thessalonica, about God's great love and care and concern, and Paul and the disciples' love and concern for them, let's use the example of a mother. We can talk about many examples throughout Scripture where God is trying to teach us something, right? Ruth, the book of Ruth, right? And what a blessing it is not only to have mothers, godly mothers, but also godly mother-in-laws, right? And they are to be honored. We're to be thankful for them, right? In the book of Ruth, we see Naomi, such a wonderful representation of love and compassion and sincerity, right? And her hands worked, and she spoke words of compassion, and her heart loved. This morning here, as we offer our conclusion, like I said, it's going to be, I told you it's going to be a shorter lesson. I know you got a busy day, especially if you have plans with family. But I want you to take away from this lesson here the great honor that we should have for our mothers and what a privilege it is to be able to thank God for godly mothers. And we think about the impact that mothers have upon us, but every single generation. And so we honor mothers. We're to develop a respect for them, hold them in high regard. You know, an old proverb says, an ounce of motherhood is worth a pound of preaching, and how true that is. So if your mother's still alive, tell her thank you. If your mother's passed on, thank God for the wonderful time that you had with her and what was afforded to you by a loving mother. If you are a mother, remember that impact that you have upon your children and be prayerful in that and understand the impact that you have on your children and grandchildren and maybe someday your in-laws. We're grateful to God this morning, and you know what? Your mom wants you to go to heaven. If you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel, listen, your mom wants you to go to heaven. She loves you. But as much as your mother loves you, God loves you even more. And so you've been given an opportunity here this morning to obey the gospel if you haven't. Reenacting the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and water baptism with a responsive faith. You have that opportunity to do so. If you've done that and you've fallen away and you want to start over, let's take care of that. Let's honor God this morning with our lives and be determined to be responsive to Him concerning our relationship with Him. If we can help you in any way this morning, let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.